This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code Wrestling2XPod. Again, the code Wrestling2XPod.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Veda Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
You are watching and listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Romoran, and Chino Liao at your service. And wow, dami natin pag-usapan as always. Gotta start off by thanking everybody, by the way, who's been joining us live sa Facebook and on Kumu. If you haven't yet, we appreciate it if you follow our accounts on Facebook. That's at Wrestling Podcast. Same on IG. On Twitter, it is at Wrestling2XPod. And on Kumu, where a lot of you are joining us either for the first time or for the nth time, it is at Wrestling Pod. And now there's another account that we'd really, really appreciate if you follow us on, because we are launching it here officially on the podcast. The Wrestling Podcast is officially on Patreon!
Woo!
Right, hey.
Please support.
Yeah, so you can...
Wala kami soundboard, guys, eh. So,
oh, wala kami soundboard.
Pag sinuport nyo kami, magkaka-soundboard kami. Yes. Support
na. No, yung so soundboard natin naiwan sa Wii Remote, eh.
Oh, naiwan dun. Naiwan sa office. So you can follow us at patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast. Diba? Napaka-simple. And what we're doing is we do appreciate and we do need your support. Pero meron din kami in-offer, syempre, in exchange for your support. Di lang kami nanlilimos dito. So we've got two tiers lined up on Patreon. So there is the young boy or young girl tier that is $5 per month or around 250 pesos. So convert na namin for you guys. And there's the veteran tier. So mas maraming perks. And that's $10 per month or 500 pesos per month. So syempre, if you subscribe to the higher tier or the veteran tier, mas marami kayong perks and benefits na makukuha, including some new exclusive Wrestling Podcast merch that Chino, Ro, and I have been working on. Chino most especially.
Yes.
Siya yung lead dyan.
Magkakaroon tayo ngayon ng just in time to exploit the pandemic, we have a few wrestling podcast face masks.
Face mask, oh.
At you. Yung face shield, pag-aaralin pa namin. Kasi makakapag-upahan yun. But yung face mask definitely coming at you real soon. So please hit up that Patreon.
Also on the Patreon, syempre, hindi lang merch. So, as early as the young boy / young girl tier, we'll also be giving you access to an exclusive Discord community in which you guys can talk wrestling with us. Lalo na if you want to, kunyari, you want to watch a pay-per-view live and get our thoughts on the in real time, right? And, you know, instead of having to tweet at us, pwede tayo mag-usap sa Discord. Tapos, I'm also thinking of putting out some exclusive audio of, you know, fresh show reviews. You don't have to wait for the weekly wrestling talk just to hear what we think about certain shows and events. And what else do we got? What else do we got lined up for them?
Download links and streaming links. Yeah, so download links and streaming links. That's part of the young boy tiers, veteran tier. We mentioned the merch. We mentioned yung the face masks. That's part of that. Actually, di ko siya kabisado ngayon because I don't have
the link. Ito. If you get the veteran tier, you have an opportunity to join us on the show.
That's right.
Thanks for reminding me.
You can be the unofficial fourth. So, in honor of Camus, who is no longer with us, ikaw na yung papatahimikin natin.
For $10.
For $10
or 500 pesos.
Shut up on air.
Yeah, we're also working on Patron Game Night. So that is another project that Chino has been really, really excited about.
Yes.
Siempre, we can't do that without you guys. So if you are part of the Patron program, lalo na the veteran tier, you'll get access to Patron Game Night on Kumu, where you can win prizes from us here on the Wrestling Podcast. That, so
that's yep. right. So if you've ever wanted to play such award-winning games as Cocktail or Wrestling Move, or Porn Star or Wrestler, or... or real name or shoot name, then you can do that on Patreon by signing up for the Patreon.
Siyempre, right, kung kaya nyo lang. We're not forcing anyone to sign up for Patreon. If you got the means, if you want to support us, please do. We'd be really happy if you did.
So there you have it. That's the official link of the Wrestling Podcast Patron program. So just go to patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast and check it out. Okay, we also have another thing to plug before we get to the actual talking. So 11/11 is coming up and we've got our new links. Among them is our link for Shopee. So meron kaming link that we're going to be putting up on social media very soon. I'm not sure if the shortcut link has been set up already, but it should be tinyurl.com/wrestlingxshopee. So it's kind of like our link with the other online shopping merchant, which we can't mention for obvious reasons. But yeah, go check that out. And every successful checkout, meron kami makukuha after that, right? Okay. Huh. A lot of people are commenting about non-WWE promotions, which is kind of weird because, well, WWE still is the biggest promotion, number one. And number two, they've got the biggest goings-on after the last few days. So
it's also interesting that a lot more people are actually paying attention to these smaller promotions. Akala ko, only real hardcore smarts, quote-unquote, do care about this. Pero dami pala. Like, people on the Kumu stream have been talking about Serena Deeb. See, Jen Brigada brought it up. Serena Deeb is now your new NWA Women's World Champion. Which was funny because I thought it was still Thunder Rosa. But apparently, Dina.
Yeah, no, it happened just earlier this morning. I give props to everyone asking about that because it shows that you guys are following. Even though you don't get to watch the shows themselves, you guys follow it on Twitter, on the internet. And it goes to show na, okay, di lang pala niche tong ano. Di naman sobrang niche. Siyempre, mas malaki pa rin yung hatak ng WWE. As for that, I don't know why they decided to do a title change. Maybe they just wanted some action going on the NWA World Women's Championship scene. It's fine because it means that NWA is looking at AEW as more of a long-time partner, which is good, which means more jobs for everyone across the indie scene.
It also means more crossover matches.
So, question now. Did this title change happen during a pre-tape or during a...
No, it happened on a promotion called United Wrestling Network.
Oh, so okay. So, an indie show. Okay.
It's an indie show na takes a bunch of the scattered indie promotions or indie wrestlers and puts them under one banner in a weekly pay-per-view model. So, this is available on Fight. It's only $8 every week. That's what, 400 pesos per week if you're interested in watching it.
Yeah, when you think about it, diba, parang nanood ka lang ng local show. Oh. Kasi ganun din naman yung price na binabayad natin, diba, for the local shows in the world before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sige. Let's get our thoughts in on Hell in a Cell. So, syempre, you had the 3 cell matches going on. You had Otis losing money in the bank. So, let's start off with the Hell in a Cell matches muna. And the shocking ending to Hell in a Cell, syempre, by the end, we realize, okay, this is why Drew versus Randy Orton closed the show because Randy Orton became a 14-time world champion. Shocking ending. I'm not too mad, I guess, because, you know, me being too mad means I got worked. And it means that what they wanted to happen did happen, diba? They played me. At the same time, medyo nakakainis din kasi they stretched out this feud for this result. So I'm kind of mixed here with regard to Randy Orton winning the championship.
I don't mind Randy Orton walking away with the belt. I really don't. If this means that they can use him to build somebody off of, like, say, a Keith Lee or a younger talent, then it makes a lot of sense for me because then it still preserves Drew's quote-unquote legacy being so new and young as a WWE title holder. Right? Who's to say that he won't win the belt again down the ways, right? But for Randy Orton, an established veteran, to help push a younger guy over would mean that that younger guy gets the rub from somebody like Randy Orton. So I really don't mind that he walked away with the title. Sana lang they did a better job of making sense of it all, because they not only did they do a regular match, they also did the Hell in a Cell, and then before that they did the ambulance match with five other legends. So parang that arc was wasted, in my opinion, because of all the shenanigans that they put Orton through, diba? Where he tried to look like an inconspicuous janitor.
Actually, parang babyface kasi Randy Orton eh, because he had to jump through so many hoops just to win the championship. That's normally a babyface arc.
Yeah, if you want to put the smart glasses on, then yes, totally. I get where you're coming from. But this whole thing is a pretty ridiculous booking for the way it's happened. But I don't mind how it ended.
Okay, three things. First thing, I also did not mind Randy Orton winning a championship, because I thought it was fine. I actually thought that it was time for a change. Although, also, this is me liking new things, so you could take that with a grain of salt. Second thing is that none of this is long-term storytelling. The only thing that's really long-term at this point is Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. A lot of things are done just for the short-term pop or the short-term need. For example, which we'll get to later, now Tucker is back on SmackDown after having been drafted to Raw last week or 2 weeks ago. So, alam mo yun, wala talaga silang pinag-iisipan for the long term. Third is that although I would like to say that this is to push, or this is for the benefit of a younger up-and-coming talent, the rumors are saying that the end game for Randy Orton's championship reign is a match which would edge at WrestleMania. So in April pa yun. So that's what, a good 5 months or 6 months away from now. So that's not really hell. If young guys are going to challenge him for the championship moving forward, you know they're all going to lose.
Yeah, Jeb Regalas asking dito sa comment section, will The Miz cash in again on Randy Orton like he did 10 years ago? Given the rumor and innuendo that Ro just dished out, probably not. Or if he ever does cash in on Randy Orton, baka matalo naman siya this time around. And I actually don't want that. Segueing off to Otis losing Money in the Bank, I like this result. I like The Miz being Money in the Bank holder. And kahit na sabihin mong 10 years apart, like the performer Miz has become, makes him an even more credible and believable WWE champion threat at this point. So whether he cashes in on WWE championship or world or universal championship, ako excited ako, pero given the what looks like the long-term stories for both world titles, parang unlikely na maging world champion si Miz ulit, even with the briefcase.
Yeah, so according to Gimme Buckets, I think Kumu Feed, hello to you, Gimme Buckets.
Yeah, Gimme Buckets.
Sabi niya, good thing Randy won, it avoids Drew versus Roman at Survivor Series para the big money match now. So WrestleMania would be Drew versus Roman, which I don't mind at all, because it heralds a new era, I guess you could say.
Saw that no 35. It was Drew versus Roman.
Okay, I didn't remember it that much. So exactly. Now that they are better, they are more made than they were that time, I would want to see it again.
Yeah, it you're talking about the old Drew McIntyre when he was saddled to Dolph Ziggler. I don't think that counts. Post Drew McIntyre, the guy who beat Brock Lesnar, both of them actually now, they both beat Brock Lesnar, having built up such stellar reputation since then, actually makes this more meaningful to me, which I wouldn't mind if that happened.
Yeah, going back to Otis and Tucker. Oh, there's a Miz, rather, since Stan already touched on it. I don't mind Miz getting the briefcase. I just wish that the Money in the Bank briefcase device itself was treated with better respect. So it was a short match. Talagang it was made for the Tucker heel turn, right? Which I don't think we really need at all. Say it's the latest in a long line of tag team breakups. But here's the thing. I was watching that match, and I was watching Otis, and I thought that if they really took him seriously, if they gave him enough effort and, you know, attention and shine since winning Money in the Bank all those months ago. I really feel like he could have been, you know, this generation's Dusty Rhodes. I mean, he was already being positioned that way. He's the blue-collar working man, right? And he can talk. I think he can talk. He's decent in the ring. I really do think if they had written him more seriously, they could have had a real underdog babyface that could have been a credible threat for the whatever world championship they wanted to go for.
Chino, any thoughts? Okay, no, I was just going to say, I agree with Ro here. Nasayangan ako. I think the Otis Tucker feud is not really money. I don't expect much out of it. I'm really annoyed na it's another tag team that they had to break up. Napaka unnecessary. And sige, binrake up mo sila, tapos mag-feud sila for what, 1 month or one pay-per-view or maybe two pay-per-views max. And then after that, what, we're gonna see Tucker on Main Event? Where we, yeah, San Pupulutin yeah. Si Otis, diba?
Exactly. Sorry, Chino. Again, hola. It's them thinking for the short term. Kasi as I mentioned earlier, Tucker was drafted to Raw in the draft 2 weeks ago. Then now he's being listed back on the SmackDown side. So talagang it means that somewhere after the draft, someone thought, okay, maybe we should turn Tucker heel at Hell in a Cell.
Okay, so two things. According to a Cultaholic video from earlier today, Tucker was actually never drafted to Raw. Sources showed that the logo under his name on the WWE official website was always SmackDown, and the reporter even went back as far as a few months before the draft and showed that SmackDown siya talaga to begin with, and it never really actually changed. So maybe that was an error on the part of production. I don't really know, but as we know right now, that's a SmackDown versus Tucker, that's a Raw, that's an Otis. Now, with regards to the split,
wait. Going back to that point, Tucker appeared on Raw, but they made a big deal about the split. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, what I'm saying is, hindi talaga nila intention na pumuntahin siya to na pumuntahin siya to Raw.
Okay.
Like, so never, parang, like, they're basically sweeping it under the rug. It never happened.
Sinakin nila.
Yeah, it never happened. So it's not a thing now. So it's regardless of whether you think that SmackDown show or hindi, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but with regards to breaking up the tag team, I've always saw this coming. Like, I've always felt that Otis, even as part of Heavy Machinery, has always been getting more of a push than Tucker. They've been giving Tucker the unfortunate Marty Jannetty treatment with all the spots they've been giving Otis, even from when they were fresh from NXT. The whole Caterpillar gimmick, the whole Mandy Rose and Otis gimmick. That's fine if you want to keep them together as a tag team. But I feel like making Tucker the heel here gives him at least some sort of edge to his character. Because what are they going to do? Make him another blue-collared guy? And they have the same sort of look. They're also both in the same team. Diba? So if one guy is going to get the push, the other guy has to do something as well. And I guess this is sort of a push for Tucker as well. About to see if he can bring this heel persona further. Yes, we lose another tag team, but at the end of the day, I like to see more for these guys down the road.
My problem with that, Chino, is that the breakup didn't mean anything. Kasi they just did it for the shock value. Heavy Machinery, wala pa tayong masyadong investment sa kanila as a team, because in NXT, they didn't really get anywhere. And then they showed up on the main roster and they didn't really get anywhere. Like, the whole storyline of Heavy Machinery has basically been about Otis. And so kung yun yung gagamitin nilang basis for Tucker's turn, then it's them low-key admitting na, yeah, we didn't write you as a team very well. And then they use that as a plot device for the heel turn, which I think is such lazy writing. Kasi tag team breakups mean so much more when you're invested in them. Sasha Bailey being the best example. Or if they were to have a breakup, diba?
Okay, I get what you're trying to say here, but I feel like the whole point of Otis and Tucker breaking up was to put Otis over. It was all on Otis. Walang wit on Tucker whatsoever. They weren't really going to do anything with Tucker in the long run. So the fact that they gave him something at least, they threw him this bone on, magsapakay na 2 months, see where that takes you. It's at least something. It's at least giving him something, diba? Instead of just saying the amicable breakup sila and then Otis just goes on a singles run. Parang kawawa naman sa Tucker.
Sabi ni Sensei D, it's basically WWE messed up as always. Thank you for the halo-halo, Sensei D.
Thank you for the halo-halo.
Yeah, it is them messing up as always. I just don't know kasi it's not like other breakups where the dumper has any momentum really. But now I guess he does when you think about it kasi he initiated the breakup. But I don't know how far our emotional investment, if any, will take us for Tucker.
Yeah, and because of that, I don't think na you know, mapupulot sila in the main event or in the upper mid card following the storyline. That's my fearless forecast.
Yeah, same.
Okay, we're going to talk about the other two big Hell in a Cell matches as well as Retribution getting punked again. But first, we got to take a break and hear from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Minsan, kailangan lang ng manunulat ng kausap. Minsan, kailangan lang ng mambabasa ng pag-asa. Minsan, kailangan lang ng tagapakinig ng pag-ibig. Ako si Edgar Calabia Samar, may akda ng ilang premyadong nobela at aklat ng tula. At inaanyayahan ko kayong makinig ng aking podcast tungkol sa panitikan at pagsulat at pagmamahal. Ang mga teorya ng pagkahulog. Dito lang sa Podcast Network Asia.
All right, before we get to the rest of our Hell in a Cell talk, let's get to some shout-outs. First off, dito sa Facebook feed, we've got JK joining us, our usual suspects, Ricky and Jackie. And Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. John Christopher, also on the feed. How about on Kumu Chino?
Dami nating newbies joining us on this stream. We have Hello. Elijah Yaquino. We have Baby Ron X. We got Gio Ortega Santillan. We got Renan Oregetcha, Glory Pearl, Kev Spogito, Padeli, and Prince RJC on this Kumu stream. Thank you for joining us tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about Sasha versus Bayley, where Sasha finally became a Grand Slam champion. Na-complete na niya by winning the SmackDown Women's Championship. And she finally won inside Hell in a Cell. So she's now 1-2 inside that structure. I felt like it was a very deserved win. And I actually enjoyed the match. So, you know, Sasha and Bayley, we know naman na these two can really put out a banger. Diba? NXT TakeOver Brooklyn palang, we already saw that for ourselves. But to see them really take it a step further inside the cell and with much more emotion, much more gravitas, and with switched alignments, I thought it was pretty compelling. So I was pretty happy with how this one turned out.
I agree. I'm glad that they gave us the result that we really wanted, because if they pulled out the rug one more time, hindi ko na alam kung saan sila pupulutin. Hindi ko na alam kung saan pupulutin sina Sasha and Bayley. So yeah, really good feud capper, I think. Survivor Series, which we'll talk about in a while, being up next is a good break away from Sasha Bayley. Sana they don't touch for a while after this.
Yeah, sana mas mahaba yung reign niya, because Sasha has never defended a singles championship successfully. So that's her next hump that she needs to get over. In the 5 times she's been a singles champion on the main roster, she's never had a successful title defense. And that's damning on Sasha Banks' part and in her booking, considering that she's been on the main roster for more than 5 years. So that's something to watch out for as she moves towards and past Survivor Series 2020.
So before I get to my take, let's give a shout out to one of the head honchos on Kumu and our fellow podcast, Angelo Mendez is on.
Hey,
our
what's Kumu. Up, Angelo?
Angelo! What's up,
Sabat
man?
Retro Podcast. Hello to you as well. Sabat and Kev's Pogido, Sasha Banks deserves that victory and the championship. And I agree, she does deserve that championship and that victory.
She does.
It's a hard-fought victory for her. Buti naman tinapos nila. And it ended in such a fashion. Bayley and Sasha have such great chemistry with one another. And whenever they get to mix it up against each other, they're able to do such magic in there. Now, that said, I like the match. I loved Iron Woman better. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. No, I agree.
That's just me. I felt like that had more emotion attached to it. Not to compare, but you can't really compare, because since then they've done so many things, both individually and as tag team. Now, yes, I agree. This is just setting up Sasha to overcome her next big goal of retaining in a championship defense. However, I feel like they're going to be building the women's division of SmackDown around somebody like Sasha Banks, where she can easily stand at the very top of that ladder. Because Charlotte Flair ended up back on Raw. So really, between her and Bayley, it feels like this whole division is going to be built around Sasha Banks.
I just want to say that I think the Iron Woman is better because, as John Christopher said, niisip ko pa rin kung paala saan yung pinagdikit na kendo sticks ni Bayley. Until now, I think we will never know the answer to that mystery.
Negan to, pag bumalik ulit si Bayley ng Pilipinas, tapos nagka-media availability ulit si Bayley, we should ask her that. Take note, and then whichever of us makes the media availability, magtanong tayo. All right, let's talk about Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Now, ito nagulat ako na opening match to because I really thought, syempre, not knowing na Randy Orton would win the championship, I thought this would be the main event. But again, in hindsight, knowing what we know now, it makes sense na siya yung opener kasi it wasn't a very wrestling-heavy match. It was really a story match, much like Clash of Champions, and deservedly so. We saw the stakes from Tribal Consequences ng SmackDown, and then we saw Jimmy Uso even getting involved. Sobrang ganda. Ang ganda pa rin ng storytelling. And you can really see yung pagkatao nila. Yung siguro parang tragic flaws, I guess, like in Roman Reigns na he really believes in his heart of hearts na I'm doing the right thing. And yet you can see all over his face na as much as he's bought into his own BS, he's also really full of crap. And he also kind of knows it. Kasi he was willing to put Jimmy in the guillotine just to get Jay to ultimately quit, diba? And then there's Jay who has a lot of pride na it had to take Jimmy getting choked out for him to say, I quit. So you had all those elements coming in. Then syempre, Paul Heyman pa rin. Paul Heyman actually, I wrote about this when I originally wrote about Roman Reigns for SmarkHenry.com. Paul Heyman is so different from the Paul Heyman with Brock Lesnar. Because that Paul Heyman was very audacious. That guy was really thumping his chest, walking around as if lagi siyang nagbi-big balls, yung ginagawa ni Sam Cassell sa NBA dati. This Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns cowers in fear. He's literally afraid of Roman Reigns. Watch the way that he acts around Roman Reigns. He's always cowering in fear. Alam niya yung place niya, I cannot thump my chest. I am subservient to the tribal chief. And that's a different element of Paul Heyman that we haven't really seen prior to this character.
It really goes to show how much effort they're putting into this. Before that, JK is asking, should he watch the entire Hell in a Cell pay-per-view or just the Cell matches? I would say just watch the Cell matches because that's all you need, really. Pero nakapagod pa rin siya kasi after all, it's still 3 Hell in a Cell matches in one night. Going back to that, Maro says, it's a Samoan soap opera. It's brilliant. Yeah, it is really brilliant. I would say Hell in a Cell was Roman's Heisenberg moment.
The
moment he realized na he was full of shit. He was full of evil. There's no turning back. At this point, I don't think I can imagine him going back to, you know, the smiley baby face, Roman Reigns from before.
Yeah, feeling ko talaga ever since they booked him as this guy, there's really no going around back to the first Roman Reigns. It was a mistake in my opinion to even try and make him a clean baby face, like the guy people are supposed to root for. Because how can you root for somebody that looks like him? Right? He looks maaras from the get go, right? It's not easy to think of him as an underdog, right? Even if they did play the whole cancer angle on him. However, that said, I am very interested to see where this goes. Is this where we get the faction people have been chatting about online? If so, who else is going to be a part of it, right? And he's the head of the table now. He's the head of the family. He's the tribal chief. All these things. So what does that mean for him in story-wise? I will also say that I love this match as a story because it goes back to the roots of what WWE has always had an edge on in terms of production. They've always been a storytelling company, even if the wrestling wasn't always there. It's always what you watch the WWE for, the stories. And I like how you talk about getting worked a lot on this show, how we're not really worked about a lot of things. This was the first match I remember actually tearing up as I was watching it. I can't remember the last match that made me do that, but this was it. this was that match, especially when Jimmy Uso came out and kept using their shoot names. And Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that was good. That was a great time.
That was really good. And then
they were reacting to, and he was starting to feel it too, Sir Roman. He also started tearing up. I was actually starting to tear up too. Like, holy shit, is he trying to break the curse? Is he trying to sway Roman from the dark side? And then no, he locks in the guillotine. And we were all worked. And I love it. I love when wrestling gets to surprise even the smartest of fans.
They really had me there too. I thought Roman was gonna turn back face, and I'm like, I'll be like, oh, all of this for what? Just so I know you can, you know, you can be bought over by your cousins using their real names. on that note, though, Chino is asking, sino yung sasali sa faction niya or matutuloy ba? The rumors are saying that yes, it is gonna be a done deal. Diba, the stakes of this match were that if Jay quit, then they had to follow Roma's orders.
Indentured servitude, right?
Yeah. So apparently the plan is, and that's according to the rumors, the plan is for Jay to follow them and to eventually realize, okay, fuck it, I might as well do it and join it. And he'll, you know, turn heel and be evil as well. We don't know yet if when he does that, kasali si Jimmy, but the idea is that all three of them will be a unit, a Samoan strike force, if you will. Ricky says Roma's golden glove was random. I agree, it was pretty random. I didn't know why he had to have a golden glove.
But no, since we're talking about costumes and gear, I just got to say, in SmackDown cell matches, you can clearly see now the heels were in black and the baby faces were in white.
Yes.
That's another great subtle touch.
Yes.
Sobrang ganda. All right.
Napansin ko din yan during the Bayley and Sasha match, like how the stark difference in color between the two of them, especially with the chair that Bayley brought to the ring. Ang ganda lang tignan. The contrast was great.
Yeah. Let's say hi to Abby, who is on Kumu for the very first time and has sent a lechon our way. Thank you,
Abby. Thank you, Abby.
Padala ka pa ng lechon.
Oh, paulan tayo. Tara. Let's say hi to Michael as well on the Facebook comments. He's asking kung pwede ba siyang maging member ng podcast. Pwede if you are part of the veteran tier of our Patreon program. So there's our veteran patrons will get the chance to be our fourth member of the podcast on our special episodes, including Game Night on Kumu.
Right, I want to add to that because Admin Angelo is asking us about our thoughts on Impact Wrestling. Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch Impact earlier this week because my internet was being a bitch, and I don't think you guys caught Impact as well.
Bound for Glory?
Yes, it was Bound for Glory. Yes. Theoretically, the company's biggest show of the year, but it felt like unusual. Pay-per-view as always. But the thing is, if you sign up for our Patreon for as low as 250 pesos, you can hear me watch the show and give my thoughts on it because I watch a lot of wrestling while we're here stuck at home. So I would really want to give my thoughts on all the wrestling I watch that I don't have time for on this podcast.
Yeah, also, if you guys want your access to not necessarily legal things to fight. I'm not saying we're spreading piracy on Google. No, of course not. But if you say you did want to watch something and you didn't know how to get your hands on it, chances are you'll find that on the Discord page. So maybe
we got connected.
We'll hook you up for as low as 250 a month.
Yeah.
But I do remember seeing something about Impact. The only thing I remember from Bound for Glory was Soo Young making her return after this long storyline of her as Susie, which I still can't wrap my head around. I think it's them trying to play off the Bray Wyatt angle, the Fiend angle in the women's division of Impact. So, okay lang. Yeah, I guess I love Soo Young, so I like how I saw her again, especially when all she did was face Impact Women's Champion Deonna Purrazzo. So, that was good. I like that.
Actually, may backstage drama pa sa anin, which will, I don't know if you guys know about it because Kylie Rae was supposed to be the advertised contender against Deonna Purrazzo, and she didn't appear. She was in Nashville for the tapings, but she didn't appear. So all we know is that she's somehow alive and well, but kasi wala nakarinig from her. But all we know is that she had an unspecified injury. That's it.
Yeah, usually yung balitang ganyan, it's very troubling to hear about that. I think especially for people from our generation, we're I'm not going to lie, we're probably traumatized from 2007.
Oh yeah.
What happened to Chris Benoit, diba? So anytime we hear news about somebody not appearing when they were supposed to appear, immediately we get those flashbacks. So I'm glad na yung balita from Impact is that Kylie Rae is alive and well somehow, and I hope that it stays that way.
Man, what a twist though, if Smiley Kylie Rae ends up doing a Benoit, that's like, wow.
Yeah, let's not go there.
They call him Smiley.
And so it's doubly mysterious because she left AEW mysteriously earlier this year kasi. And nobody, up to now, nobody knows why that happened. So this happening again, kind of, is getting to be really weird for Kylie Rae.
Yeah. Conrad's asking sa comments for our thoughts on the Tucker heel turn. We got to that a few minutes ago, so you can catch na lang yung audio-only version of this stream when it gets uploaded by tomorrow, all right? Before we move on to AEW, just a couple of things we have to touch on. First, Retribution. Ano na? Ano na? Ano na?
Ewan. They're doing Ali dirty. That's it.
I, you know what? I feel like the only good thing to come from all of this was that these guys are in masks and not using their real names.
Not Mustafa Ali.
No, wait, hold on. Yeah, Mustafa Ali, fine, lost cause. But like, fucking, you can just redo. You can just redo T-Bar. Oh, like
yeah, that's what I said last week.
You know, let's take off the mask. Call him. What is his name? But like the Dijakovic. Yeah, I can't even remember what he was called. Like Djokovic. And it acts like nothing happened. No, at least that. I mean, just look at the bright side of things.
No, because Ali's my boy, man. I feel bad.
I didn't like Retribution. I love Ali. We met him, me and Camus, met him in person during the WWE Live event. Such a class act, that guy. So I feel sorry that he has to go through all of this just to be jobbed up night after night through all of these. I don't even know.
It's so sad. I mean, we're not crapping on the Hurt Business because I love the Hurt Business. Yeah, I love all four of them. Yeah, they're a great act as well. It just sucks na this is all Retribution can get. Like, really? Really? Ito lang? Like, all of that build-up, all of those weeks and months of hyping up this story for them to just lose and run away and tuck their tails between their legs. Sobrang kawawa. I'm not sure if you guys even noticed this, but they subtly changed the pronunciation ng name ni Mustafa Ali. Kasi ba we say it Mustafa Ali. Now he and the announcers, they say it Mustafa Ali.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. Hindi ko rin alam kung
I think it's more of a native pronunciation. So, if it is like that really in Arabic, then maybe it is. I'll look it up after we do the show. Okay, though. As long as they get it right and, you know, not say really, really white versions of words like Uranagi, Sin Cara.
Okay, you know, people in the comment section are also just laughing at Slapjack as a name. And how Retribution has been reduced to just being alter Twitters na dun na lang sila dun, talk shit na lang sila dun sa Twitter. That's all they're good for now.
One more thing, pala. The reason why we're getting this treatment of Retribution is because they're going up against the Hurt Business, and for some reason, no one wants to change that story. Like, somebody has to be put over, and right now it's obviously the Hurt Business. It's apparently the Hurt Business. Because, syempre, you want to make them look strong and not like chumps, right?
But so why could sila?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what Retribution is? The problem is they have two new factions that are competing for credibility and prestige. But I don't see why they couldn't have just gathered a bunch of the unused Raw mid-carders, you know, the people you use on Raw Underground, and have them be the targets for Retribution instead of having
Arturo
to go
Ruas,
up,
walang ginagawa
yun. Yeah. Instead of having them go up against another stable that they're clearly pushing. So it's talagang may isang matatalo, and buti nga may isang natatalo kasi if you go 50-50 on this, so nobody comes out looking good.
I mean,
Chino, go.
So I mean, for all we know, they can just rehash this whole Retribution thing and replace like Dijakovic with Dabba Kato and like act like no one's the wiser. Oh, look at T-Bar. Hip has some muscle.
No, you know what would have been nice? it would have been nice if they built up Retribution and the Hurt Business simultaneously while not having them mix it up with one another. Have the Raw mid-carders face both Retribution and the Hurt Business and then eventually build them both up to a point na, all right, who's gonna break? Diba parang Shield versus Wyatt's back in the day. If they'd done that, I would have bought it. Or it would probably be at least more palatable na ito yung nangyari. But they just bum-rushed it without much thought and here we are.
Saying hi to Camille Anunueva, who is asking for a shout out sa
Kumu. Medyo demanding hey. Si Camille Anunueva.
Oh, pero okay lang. We love the energy. We love the energy.
What's up, Camille?
Also saying what's up to user 5820101 who is watching us all the way from Boracay. Wow.
Hey.
Boy, wow.
Sa Bora.
Kamusta yung dyan? Dolomite dyan? Okay.
Hindi, oh, real white sand doon. Yung Dolomite nandito sa Manila eh.
Nandito na daw. Alright. Also sabi ni Kev Spoldito, Sheamus, Keith Lee, and AJ Styles are first three members of Team Raw. Yun, we haven't gotten to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yun. Thanks perfect for bringing
segue.
It up.
Yeah, perfect segue kasi I was gonna get to that. So Survivor Series season is upon us and in less than a month, we're gonna get that big show. So great. Problem is, wala na yung NXT. So it's now Raw versus SmackDown again and it's really weird after how they went through all that trouble last year to establish NXT as the third brand. They basically dominated at the big show. They won 4 out of the 7 matches, 4-1, diba? And then now it's as if NXT doesn't even exist. Why?
Alam mo, you know what? It was early. They cut their losses. They probably didn't want to make NXT look good and then not give them the same treatment they deserve. Okay, you know what? Leave NXT out of the real world problems of the main roster. Like don't sacrifice yung yung storytelling sa NXT just to accommodate what's going this brand warfare thing sa Survivor Series.
Let's greet Mr. Jayton Zulueta of AHA Learning Center. Thank you for joining us, Jayton.
Hey.
Appreciate all the good work you do, my friend.
Hey. Okay. Yeah, get to your thoughts first before I get to mine.
Sige. It's just really disappointing for me. I really wanted to see NXT just because I got excited nga. But I get Rose's point. I get where he's coming from kasi I am also kind of enjoying the NXT bubble as an experience. And we'll get to more NXT in a bit. Pero if that's the result we're gonna get, na NXT becomes more enjoyable kasi nasa vacuum siya, then sige, I will take this loss, if you will.
Yeah, I also understand why they couldn't really do NXT with this, considering that everything has to be as isolated as it is, considering the times that we live in. That said, we still have a month, more than a month, a little under a month before we get to Survivor Series. So a lot of things can change. Right? For all we know, somebody loses a title among the current title holders of both Raw and SmackDown. So right? Nothing is really set in stone. All we know is that it's champion versus champion. Right? Brand versus brand. So they could easily just throw in a third brand into the mix just for the heck of it. But nothing is really concrete at this point.
Yeah, so right now what we have are the initial rosters for Team Raw. As was mentioned kanina sa comments, it's AJ, Keith Lee, and Sheamus so far, 3 out of 5 for Raw. Then yung women's side, they've got Naya and Shayna, the women's tag team champions, Mandy and Dana, and Lana rounding out that team. So for SmackDown, I don't even want to predict. Should we predict who's going to be on Team SmackDown?
For the women or for the men?
Why not both?
I don't know. I just want to let it unfold.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I feel the same way. Chino, what about you? You want to throw a name out there?
I want to say...
Baka magka-Bo Dallas moment na naman tayo.
For this... No. I think I want to throw in a SmackDown name and go Bianca Belair. It feels like they're building her up to something. So Bianca Belair, she has to do something. So there's that. Maybe for the guys, throw in Kevin Owens. Why not?
Yeah, Daniel sure. Bryan.
Right.
Daniel Bryan.
Seth Rollins.
You know, Rey Mysterio.
Dominik.
Women, si Aaliyah.
You can wield a kendo stick as we've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, marunong naman siya. Worker. All right, let's get to the feud that's building up right now between Randy Orton and The Fiend. What do you think about the callbacks to 2017 to Randy Orton burning the Wyatt compound?
I like it. I kind of want to see it. Both men have changed, so I want to see what happens or how this goes down.
Yeah, people in the comment section, Kanina, were raving about Alexa Bliss. Like, somebody was asking, should Alexa Bliss be in a fiend mask? I don't think so. I want her to stay the way she is. Maybe put on those weird contact lenses na lang if they're going to try to make her scary. But the packaging of a really sweet, beautiful woman being scary is enough of a mind F for anyone.
Maybe face paint ang mangyayari. Like, you know, like,
yeah, I like the subtleness of what they're doing with Alexa Bliss's character. They changed their music up a bit too on Raw, if you notice. They gave it a horror remix of sorts. They gave her the scary contact lenses, and I like it, especially since I know Alexa Bliss loves her occasional horror movie, right? So it gives her a chance to stretch out those acting muscles. So I like what they're doing with the character. That said, if this ends in another Firefly Horror House projection room match, dear God, please, wag naman sana. No more couples on the wall, please.
Ang problem ko lang with Alexa Bliss right now is I don't really think we ever saw a proper culmination of, you know, Nikki Cross investigating her best friend, Lexi.
It's also good that you brought up Nikki Cross, because not only did they not close the loop on that, they also gave her some jobber music.
What?
Yeah, they changed her music.
They gave her some they gave her some generic ass country music.
It's a CFOS music, yeah.
This CFOS thing that they're going through right now. So sobrang kawawa din ni Nikki Cross of that regard.
You can see yung glove ni Alexa Bliss in Rose background right now. So her equivalent of brace, hurt, and heal is play and pain.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty cute. I really like how they're turning her into Brace Harley Quinn. His little sidekick.
Yeah,
so sabi ni Gimme Buckets on Kumu, so much yes for Randy as 14-time champ, so much no for another Fiend Orton match. I think they've learned their lesson from the projection canvas match from WrestleMania.
Yeah, and if anything, the original House of Horrors was ano, diba? Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, diba?
Yeah.
Yung projection canvas.
Projection canvas is Mania.
Oh, yeah, the segment they taped.
Backstage. Yes. Iba pa yun. So, if we're gonna lead towards another Firefly Funhouse match na parang kay John Cena na super meta pero about Randy Orton, I'd be all in. Kasi our generation grew up with Cena and Orton. We basically saw their entire careers, and I would love to have a 30-minute retrospective on Randy Orton as Bray Wyatt just mind Fs with him. I'd love
it. Meron segment sa bahay na Randy Orton's gonna shit in the bag and some shit.
Orton crashing his motorcycle. Orton.
Meron yung fat Randy Orton.
Yung Orton na DDT, you see Stephanie McMahon. That's great stuff, man. I can't wait. Because we haven't had a Firefly Funhouse match since Mania, diba?
Yeah.
So if this is what happens later down the road in whatever pay-per-view comes, I'm all for it. I'm down for the ride.
Lalabas si Batista.
Exactly. Diba?
Tapos yung finale, lalagyan ni Alexa yung coffee ni Randy Orton ng arsenic.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to see more Alexa putting arsenic in people's drinks. That's pretty funny. We got to talk about AEW, especially everybody's favorite segment from last week. And we're going to preview Halloween Havoc, plus some news on that Marvel and AAA collab right after this quick break.
What's up, Boomers? This is Usopp on Retro.
Hey, what's up? I'm Sonya.
Hey, my name's Ron.
Yo, we're Boomers, and we love to talk about video games and otaku culture, and we're from the Philippines.
Catch us live on the Kumu app every Saturday at 5 p.m. and the podcast every Monday at 8 a.m.
Catch your nerds there!
Let's get to some shout-outs, starting off with Abby, who gave us another gift on Kumu. Thank you very much, Abby.
Thanks, Abby. For the Carlita clap, Abby. Thank you so much for that. Also, say what's up to a few guys joining us on Kumu. Okay, hello, Emmy Alusis, Alodia, Arteezy, the Thunder Zeus, and Paolo 092402. Thank you guys for joining us tonight.
All right. Let's get to Le Dinner Debonair sa AEW because that really divided the internet when it aired last week. And I guess ito yung drawback of having the Wednesday live streams kasi hindi na siya as fresh. But a lot of people were polarized by it kasi syempre there were those that loved it. Like, I loved it kasi I'm a fan of musicals and I love it when my wrestlers sing on TV.
Same.
And I love how funny it was. I love yung mga hirit nila left and right. But I can see why yung mga Jim Cornettes of the world would take a dump on it because it's not wrestling.
No, go Chino, go for it. No, go for it. You go for it. You love it.
No,
so
I loved it. I loved it because I'm gonna try and take this from the point of view of the people who hated it. I understand.
Okay.
I understand that it isn't wrestling, but not everything in wrestling is wrestling. It's a device, it's a storytelling device, a plot device to move this story forward. Now, that said, if you really break it down into its finite atoms, right? Into its very core, is this performance a performance in kayfabe or is it a performance outside of kayfabe? Right? Like, do all the wrestlers, are all the wrestlers of AEW capable of singing and dancing in a steak restaurant now? If Jericho and MJF can pull it off, diba? Who's to say Brody Lee and Colt Cabana can't do it, diba? Who's to say down the ways that we don't see another integration of it? Now, that said, for what it is, for its own little segment, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed how they were able to swing that Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. song. That just goes to show the TNT money behind this company. Also, yeah. It also just showcases a lot of rage for both Jericho and MJF. Let's go back a few years to best friend Jericho during his run with Kevin Owens, right? This reminded me a lot of that, right? This Jericho has always been so forgiving with his time and his talent and his ability to put other people over, especially younger talent like Kevin Owens or MJF. And I love how he was willing to even to kick things off with the whole steak segment, pahilawan sila ng steak. And that was
disgusting.
That's so funny. Guys, you don't even know what you're doing. But okay, that's funny. That was great. And then they did the whole parody version of the song. For what it is, it was very funny. It was very entertaining. And as a standalone performance, I did love it.
All right. Here is my take. In a vacuum, I loved it. I liked it. I like musicals as well. I like Frank Sinatra style vocal pop. This was a hit for me. But in the bigger picture, guys, I'm gonna take John Christopher's comment here on our live stream. He says that Jericho and MJF is greater than 3 hours of Raw. I'm gonna ask you this though. How is this segment different from, you know, the hokey stuff on Monday Night Raw? Like, okay, it was done well, yes. But when you look at it, it is sports entertainment at its very core. And then you've got AEW trying to position itself as the alternative to that. You got Eddie Kingston calling WWE the land of the entertainers and saying AEW is a super serious land of wrestling. And then you go have Jericho and MJF pull this shit, which is, again, I'm not saying it's bad. I loved it. But it goes against yung positioning and yung marketing that AEW is presenting itself at. So at this point, if you're going to have stuff like that, on your show, which is totally fine, maybe you shouldn't be calling yourself like different from Monday Night Raw. Because if you have wrestling and you have this and you have all that other stuff like Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone hanging out in a spa, then you're just no different from Monday Night Raw. You're just Monday Night Raw with a different coat of paint. That's what that's what my issue is with this. So I need them to figure out if they're going to go all in with the sports entertainment aspect and accept that they, in order to run a wrestling show for the mainstream and get virality like that, you're going to have to market yourselves as sports entertainment without using that word specifically.
Or maybe try not to crap on the very thing that you're actually doing.
Exactly.
Diba? Now, to be fair, we also have to consider that AEW is the same company with Being the Elite. Diba? And as far as we know, Being the Elite is apparently kayfabe. Diba? So it really doesn't exempt them from doing silly shenanigans like this. Now, I get what you're trying to say. They're trying to think that they're better, they're above all the silliness of the WWE. But then at the same time, on it, storytelling-wise, their path really isn't the clearest yet. So maybe that's where they try and differentiate themselves, right? by putting out Broadways every week. Right?
Actually, Gene, it's not just the Broadways. It's not just the Le Dinner Debonair segment. Go back to yung Bubbly Bunch. When the Inner Circle did that with the Flim Flams, diba? That was already very sports entertaining. So, noon palang, they already struggled with this, I guess, dual identity or with the... I don't want to use the word hypocrisy, but it kind of comes across as hypocrisy.
I don't think it is.
I think this is them trying to do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's them trying to put their hands in every single pot they can add on. Yeah, they want to do comedy, there's that. They want to do serious wrestling, there's that. They want to do a tournament, fine. They want to debut old guys, fine. They want to do a new tag team, fine. They want to put out 15 squash matches every week, fine. They're doing everything, and feeling good is too much. They gotta streamline their operation a bit. Because as a startup, AEW is a startup, it's a little hard for them to find the focus. Right? All they really wanted to do was put out a different product, right? To go up against the competition that is the WWE. And now that they've succeeded in doing that, feeling that they can do anything, which we all know really doesn't work in the long run.
Ang sa akin lang naman is for the fans, tanggapin nyo na this is sports entertainment. And for AEW na rin, tanggapin nyo na this is sports entertainment. Granted, yes, it is better oftentimes, more times than WWE kasi you guys are apparently somehow more consistent and more deliberate and more intentional. Just accept it for what it is. Stadium Stampede pala sports entertainment na eh. Tanggapin nyo na. Don't try to be above all this, because there's nothing wrong with sports entertainment. Sports is entertainment, guys. We watch sports to be entertained. So just let's not be, pardon the pun, elitist about it.
All right. Speaking of the elite, let's talk about Kenny Omega and his new entrance, which I thought was the second best thing out of AEW last week. So, napaka-elaborate ng entrance niya with the cheerleaders and then Justin Roberts going through all of his achievements.
The entrance was longer than the match.
Sobrang kupal for anyone to be introduced with all their accolades. Like, I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm invited to give a talk, I cringe every time someone asks me for my awards and yung my career achievements, and then they're gonna read that right before I go up there. In the same way na when I'm attending a talk, and someone's achievements are there for them to get an ego boost, I cringe. So it was a great move for Kenny Omega to have that.
Totally. I get where you're coming from, because when I whenever I do stand-up, I get introduced as, he competed in the ganyan, in the ganito. I don't like it because it sets myself up for failure. I have to live up to that confidence. Hold on. That's not all the bad jokes. It's wala pa sa ako ng solid shit just for you guys, just because you called me that. So, syempre, nag-gets ko yun where you're coming from. But at the same time, it's such a worky gimmick. It gets people riled up, and it inches us closer and closer to Kenny Omega having a heel turn, essentially. Diba? They brought out the dancers that accompanied him during the entrance already had brooms out. Diba? And that's really not a subtle jab at him being the cleaner now. So I loved how he was introduced as having better Japanese by Michael Nakazawa.
So, and having wrestled once in North Carolina.
Ang dami niyang serious accolade. Triple A, mega campeonato, winner of the G1.
Diba? Seven-star match.
Oh, sorry, Star Man recipient. I was having better Japanese than Michael Nakazawa. And that face, lastly, that face that he cracks after he hit the one with Angel, sabi ko, oh my God, Kenny Omega is back to Corollas, and I love it.
Sabi ni Ricky sa comments, sana all my achievements. Yeah, we agree. Yeah. Sana lahat may ganun.
Pero sana all may achievements, pero sana all sana hindi ano, hindi sabihin lahat. Huwag yeah. na sabihin lahat.
Okay, Dave Scott is asking, yeah. are all the elite guys tweeners at this point?
Okay, so I have a thing, I have a take from last week's Dynamite main event. We saw the Young Bucks win that, right? To get a contendership at the against FTR. And then FTR beat them up. They really put the beating on them. That made them look like they were faces again after acting like dicks. So I finally figured out what AEW was going for with the Young Bucks. They were trying to go for this weird Stone Cold like tweener alignment for the Bucks. Now, okay, if I that's kind of like if I'm a if I'm enough of a dick, I can get people to root for me, and you know sympathize when I get beaten up like that, right? I'm gonna say that it doesn't work because all this time since when was the last pay-per-view? A couple of months ago. All Out, yeah. Since then, they were really acting like assholes. They were stunning, super kicking everyone, including referees and Tony Schiavone. And when you're a Stone Cold like anti-hero, you don't take it out on the broadcast team. You don't act like you're assholes to everyone. Right. You just act like assholes to people who deserve to be to be clowned on like that. And this is what's missing from the Young Bucks characterization. So I don't know if it's work. I don't think it's working. I don't have any sympathy for the Young Bucks after getting beaten up by FTR and Tully Blanchard. So it's not working. I don't know if they can fix this, especially if they're going to be the faces against FTR heading into Full Gear.
Yeah, because like the rest of the elite, parang clearly defined naman yung roles nila. Cody, kahit papano, is still babyface. More babyface than heel. Hangman is clearly a babyface. And Kenny's clearly a heel. So, you know, to answer Dave's question, no. They're not tweeners at all. Okay, that's it for AEW this week, especially since the next episode of Dynamite is literally a few hours away. Before we get NXT Halloween Havoc, there's some news that came out right before we hit recording that there is a collaboration between AAA and Marvel. So I think Chino is the one who got excited about this.
Yes, Alex, what is your role then? Because Marvel has partnered with Mexico's AAA to form a wrestling and comic sort of partnership that will debut in this year's, what's it called? Sorry. Triple
Mania.
Triple Mania. There
Triple
we go.
Mania.
their version of WrestleMania.
Their version of WrestleMania.
So basically, Marvel wants to further its brand. And there's all sorts of marketing on the press release, which you can read online. But basically, Marvel wants to further its brand and what went into wrestling. And what better way to do that than with people who already wear masks when they wrestle, right?
So they're going to have a faction in AAA. It's kind of like the Tiger Mask partnership with Japanese wrestling companies. So, like Tiger Mask appearing in real life in real life wrestling, Marvel is going to sponsor an entire group of superheroes / wrestlers in AAA. So that's going to be cool.
So it's also interesting because not a few weeks ago we just got an announcement from Funko that they're coming out with a limited release Funko Pop figure of Marvel superheroes lucharized. So you got a lucha version of Spider-Man, a lucha version of Venom, which we'll also get in this AAA stable. We also get a lucharized Captain America and Thanos for some reason. Who the Thanos person, they call them the Purple Terror in Spanish, looks a lot like Mil Muertes.
I was gonna say I wouldn't be surprised if it was Mil Muertes under that gimmick.
Exactly, right? Because he has the body for it. But anyway, it's a very entertaining prospect. And if we can get our hands on some more loops triple A on this side of the world, I'm all for it. I'm gonna watch that. Definitely.
That's what we would call good lucha things.
Oh.
Yes.
Again. All right. Let's predict Halloween Havoc now. This week's NXT is actually pretty exciting for me, especially after what Pat McAfee did. teaming up with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Oh, I love this pairing. I love that Pat McAfee is putting in the effort to tie up yung loose ends, to explain why Ridge Holland attacked Adam Cole, to explain why he aligned with Oney and Danny. Ang ganda. And Oney and Danny have been baby faces this whole time. And now that the Revival are gone, I can see them being the next Revival in NXT.
I agree.
Being the champions right now and them filling this role that the Revival left behind is a great thing for everybody involved. Plus, finally, naging sympathetic na yung buong Undisputed Era. Finally.
No, it's a good thing because they apparently veered away from the rumors saying that there was going to be a split. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly were going to be the faces and Roddy Strong and Bobby Fish were going to be the heels. So, buti na lang, they didn't go through with that. Or at the moment, they are not going through with that. And I really like the effort they're putting into telling the stories, especially with McAfee saying that he paid Ridge Holland to attack Adam Cole. But I don't know if it's a product of the injuries that have been happening to NXT, but if it is, then this is a good gabig on their end.
I don't really know how to feel about more Pat McAfee.
He's really annoying.
What's really this, great?
Really, like what you first of all, you're basing your opinion on him off of one match.
I'm basing it off of his character work. And his mic work. He's a really good manager for these people.
Okay, fine. We'll give it time, but I don't know, man. I don't like it when these pseudo celebrities come and do some part-time thing, small ass little 6 months. Like
I think Pat McAfee's already doing more than Gronk.
NXT, first of all, okay, fair assessment, but not really. Pat McAfee has, NXT has always been this proving ground, this incubator for talent to shine, where people all outside of it can, right? Like if you're an undersized wrestler, if you're an indie darling who doesn't necessarily have what it takes to be Vince's type, but NXT has always been there for you. That's why we always got people who we love, like Johnny Gargano, right? Adam Cole, right? these smaller, undersized guys who would have spent forever in the indies had it not been for NXT. Granted, right? So for somebody like Pat McAfee to come and take a little bit of that shine away, I don't really know. It's like putting Ronda Rousey there, right? It's like, it's like fucking, sino pa ba yung mga celebrities na nag-wrestle doon? To me, it strikes me in that same breath.
I actually think it's kind of reductive in the sense that you forget that NXT was also the proving ground for Vince types like Drew McIntyre, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Robert Roode to an extent, Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, these are bigger guys. So, hindi lang mga Gargano and Sami Zayn and Ciampa yung nakuha natin. We got Velveteen Dream, diba? Bronson Reed. So, I don't know. It's kind of reductive to say na NXT is just for the indie darlings.
No, I think we forget then that McAfee really did have an NXT contract before any of this. So, before Black Wednesday, he actually was signed to NXT. So, I think this is them fulfilling that deal that was taken off earlier. So, if anything, maybe he's still training. I think he's going in a little more than half-assing on this.
And if he's going out to train, then that's fine. Like, if he's going out to train, then that's fine. But I've already made my point. I want to see wrestlers wrestle.
I think they will, man.
I don't want to see guys who are just there for a shine and then leave after like 6 months.
Like I said, the way I see it, McAfee is being used right now as a plot device. And it would have been different if it was him actually doing the physical stuff. But apparently not. He's helping out these other guys who could use a story boost, if you will.
And a mic guy.
And a mic guy, yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, you're right. We'll see. It depends on how they go through with this. Okay, Albert Ray has a question on Kumu. What happened to the tag team, the Indians, that introduced months ago? You're talking about Indushare. And they were taken off TV after one of them spoiled an NXT Live result. So, well, yeah, that's what happened to them. They are being punished for that.
I bet Malcolm Bivens, the former Stokely Hathaway, is really pleased about that crap.
I don't think he is.
Okay, let's...
Poor guy.
let's predict yung ano, Halloween Havoc, because we've got four big matches, noticeably no NXT Championship match because Finn Balor is still off with that jaw injury. So let's start off with the Women's Championship match between Io Shirai and Candice LeRae. So all of these matches, may spin the wheel, make the deal, or whatever it is na Shotzi Blackheart has been saying in the promos. So I think whatever match they gets a wheel, it's Candice's to win. Like, yeah, there's nowhere else to go. Same. I think it has to be a Candice win.
Yes.
You might as well make it happen.
A Candice loss makes her look so stupid at this point. And yes. I don't want that for Candice LeRae.
Especially since they put in all that effort during her title match with Io. Diba? All that, lumabas pa si Johnny Gargano, they did the whole shenanigans, it's a talent lang siya. So parang sayang naman if they're going to put her through a tribulation and then make her lose again. It's just not worth it at this point.
Speaking of Gargano, what about his match versus Damian Priest? Ito na ba, yung mag-asawa, are they going to be champions at the same time? Or will Johnny Gargano fail again?
I think Gargano can eat the loss here. He can use it. He can take it more than Candice can.
I feel like he wins, eh? I think this is it. Like the stipulation itself proves that the stipulation itself has room for shenanigans in it. And Johnny Gargano has always been winning lately with shenanigans involved. Right? So if they say that it's a buried alive match, then I'm sure they're going to think of some creative way where the smaller Gargano can outmaneuver the bigger Priest. So I feel like Johnny Gargano walks away with this.
I'm going to break the tie and say that Johnny Gargano wins here. Kasi they've also been building towards that story na the Gargano way works. Mag-asawa sila magiging champion at the same time. And because they can't let Johnny be NXT champion again, him being North American champ while Candice is the women's champ is the next best thing. So I think they're going to pull the trigger here on Halloween Havoc.
Okay.
Next, you've got a grudge match between Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis. I think Cameron Grimes will eat the loss kasi Dexter Lumis just got back.
Yeah, I agree. They really like Lumis.
Oh, sorry. Also, I was going to say, isn't this a Halloween, what is it called? The Halloween Horrors match? Haunted Horrors match?
Yeah. Haunted Horrors match.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
So it has a special stipulation that goes in favor of the creepier Lumis. So I say Dexter Lumis walks away.
Yeah, parang built for mamamatay tao tong match na to. So.
Yeah, si Cameron Grimes pa naman yung may vibe siya na sleazy, di ba?
Parang so unang like mamamatay sa horror film.
Right, exactly. So it's a perfectly set horror movie. And what better way to take out an annoying guy like Cameron Grimes than with a serial killer? I'm all for it.
Still so messed up that we're rooting for the serial killer or the creepy guy, but okay. Let's round it off with Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez. Ito, I'm kind of unattached or uninvested just because I think it's another Rhea win.
Pwede.
I will say that Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez have actually been a tag team on NXT Roadshow. So, paano may chemistry naman sila? Whether it shows itself during the match, I don't know. But I also think this will be a Rhea win.
All right. Yeah.
Might as well.
There you have it. Those are our NXT Halloween Havoc predictions. Let us know what yours are in the comments or hit us up at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter or here's a comment section at Wrestling Wrestling Pod on Kumu or on Facebook at Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. Picks of the week. This is the time of the show where we tell you that one match or segment you have to watch kung wala ka talagang time. Let's start with Chino.
All right. So I have actually two picks of the week. First one, we've talked about it earlier in the show. It's from AEW, and it's the Dinner Debonair. I've told you guys why I like it, why I found it entertaining. But my second pick actually just came to me a few hours ago before recording. It was actually a clip. So last night, a little backstory. Last night I was watching Borat, the second Borat.
Subsequent movie film.
Yeah, there we go. And went on a deep dive on Comedy Central because of one Mr. Jordan Klepper. If you don't know who he is the field reporter on Trevor Noah's iteration of The Daily Show. And he has his own show now where he just goes out and does his – he's a smart aleck and he talks to all sorts of people. But in his very first episode of The Klepper Report, he talks to a group of Iraqi war vets who've started their own independent wrestling organization.
Wow.
So it's a very good – mini documentary, short documentary about Iraqi war veterans using wrestling to deal with their PTSD. They talk about how they use characterization and escapism as a means to escape the everyday struggle that they have. So it's up on YouTube. It's a very short watch, quick watch. It's 20 minutes long. You just sit down and you watch it and you learn a lot. So that's my pick.
All right. Ro, what's yours?
Hi. My pick of the week is from NXT UK, the British Rounds match between Trent Seven and Kenny Williams. So go catch that if you haven't been catching NXT UK. They are entering the second round or the semifinal round of the tournament. So it should be fun to see who wins this. Honorable mention is Sasha Bailey.
Okay. My pick of the week naman is Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, Hell in a Cell. We talked about that and we talked about why it was a great match. And my honorable mention is Phoenix versus Penta nung AEW Dynamite. So kind of unfortunate na Phoenix got injured despite winning, but the on the bright side, Penta gets to advance to the next round. So we're gonna see another Pentagon match in the AEW tournament eliminator or whatever they call it.
It's Pentagon versus Kenny Omega, so they're rehashing this match first all in, diba? First all out, diba?
Yeah. So that should be a banger. And that's going to happen in a few hours. All right. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Wrestling Podcast. Thanks to everybody who joined us on the stream. Everybody who left comments. Sabni JK, nice discussion for tonight, guys. Really appreciate it, JK. And really appreciate everybody na nagpaulan ng whatever gifts that you may have sent our way over on Kumu. I just want to ask everyone again that if you're interested in being a Wrestling Podcast patron, please check out patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast. We promise to make it worth your while, to make it worth your money. It's $5 or 250 pesos a month for the first tier, yung young boy, young girl, or $10 or 500 pesos a month for the veteran tier. And ultimately, we want to create a safe space, a safe community for all of our fans here on the Wrestling Podcast and with us as well. Because ultimately, we're all just wrestling fans and we want to enjoy wrestling. Diba?
I'll tell you now. For those who were asking about the stuff that we didn't get to watch or we didn't get to cover here, if you subscribe to our Patreon, we will do our best, or I will do my best at least, to cover that and give you content on my thoughts on that wrestling that we didn't get to catch. So please, if you can, please support the Patreon.
Oh, wag mo na ako damay. Damay ka pala.
Sige. Yeah, sige. Akong bala sa kanila.
So a few guys on Kumu are sending their thoughts our way. Sabi ni Albert Ray, I like what happened to the Forgotten Sons. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing happened to the Forgotten Sons.
Yes, nothing happened to the Forgotten Sons. I mean, they got taken off TV like that. Sabi naman ni KMM Gregorio, Riddle versus Sheamus is fire. Again, okay, I guess.
That's yeah, I should get around to catching that.
It's all right.
I heard it was good.
It is all right. Right? So last few people joining us at Kumu, kahit paalis na tayo. Thank you so much for dropping by our streams. XXX Charm, Ricky Magtoto, Jairus Salazar, Z Eileen, Resultonix, My Desiris Yu, Kekit, Rianne, Lapidario, there we go, Chef Diopudla, and Aphrodite 0411, thank you for joining us on Kumu.
All right. And Okay, go.
Abby, si Abby, nagpahabol ng halo-halo. Thank you, Abby.
Hey, thanks, Abby.
All the gifts.
Thank you. You can also check out our Lazada affiliate link, by the way. That's another way you can support the podcast through your online shopping, especially with 11/11 coming up. So all you have to do is to go to this link, tinyurl.com/ondeck. Sorry, wrestling.
Wow.
X Lazada.
Wow,
sir.
How could you? tinyurl.com/wrestling X Lazada. Pero yung ondeck, okay lang din yun. So every time you click on that link,
oh. Akala ko sabihin mo tinyurl.com/classcloudxlazada.
Wow.
Every time you click any of those links and then you're able to check out your product and then it gets delivered to your doorstep, we get a small commission out of that. And it goes a long way so we can keep producing these podcasts for you. All right? And other plugs from our end, I'm going to start with shoutout. Please book us for shoutout.com. If you want us to cut a promo on you or teach you how to cut a promo, or if you want to learn workout tips straight from Ro, hit us up, book us on shoutout.com. That's shawtout.com. The latest episode of On Deck is out and it features the great Ray Langit, who's now part of DZRJ. Yeah, I think I got that right. Yeah, he's on there now. Yes, yes. Yung AM version of RJ. So he's now part of that. And we get to talk about his career and how apparently he was the guy who came up with the words people power before the 80s. So that's a fun story.
We're all John Laurinaitis din.
Akala ko si John Laurinaitis.
Listener pala niya si John Laurinaitis. We also got to greet Babyface producer Nikai. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Nikai!
Happy birthday, Nikai. Thank you for always putting these episodes together alongside Babyface producer Sola. Go check out our earlier episode from this week featuring Carlo Pamintuan of ESPN5. Lots of great stories from the PBA bubble as well. And our next episode will feature Shaukat. So we're going to talk to him, and he's got the scoop on APAC Wrestling. Plugs on your end, Ro.
Okay, I'm just going to plug twitch.tv/shang_daddy. That is my Twitch account. SHANG_DADDY. Later tonight, I'll be playing Left 4 Dead 2 with my friends. And soon, coming to the stream, is Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS4. And also, please always read smarkhenry.com.
Chino.
All right. My plugs for this week come to you from my own podcast, Class Clown. Which also has its Lazada code. We're going to submit it to podcast kayon. But this week's episode comes out on Friday, just in time for Halloween, where I talk to professional makeup artist Carrie Dawn Conejero. She is a prosthetic genius behind such movies as yung mga little indie films lang, like Goyo, a Batang General.
Okay, wow.
Roxy, right?
So I've heard of those.
Yeah, it's a small art house fair. Starring Julia Barreto lang naman, diba? The largest movie ever made. Lang naman. So you can go check that out as she talks to us about how she got started in the showbiz industry, how she worked her way up the showbiz ladder, and how some of the things she does are actually not just movie magic, but actually prosthetic magic. So it's an incredible listen. Please go check it out. Also, this Halloween Sunday, that is October 31st. I had to think of when Halloween was. I am doing a live improv stream, Care of Fringe Prov 2020. Sa bahay lang kami. That's going to feature 12 hours of nothing but pure improv. I am on at 7 p.m., so you don't have to stay up that late with my group, Carambola. For more information, hit up Spit, Manila, and Third World Improv on Facebook.
All right. There you have it. Those are the other platforms on which you can catch us. Thank you again so much to everybody. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Wrestling Podcast. That's on Tuesday. Featuring Shaukat. Until then, though, on behalf of Ro Moran and Chino Liao and Babyface producers Nikai and Sola from Podcast Network Asia, my name is Stan C, saying please stay safe, wear your mask, and we are out of here.
Peace.